What's the end game for the debt ceiling?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, plenty of plans to raise the debt ceiling in Washington, but the clock is ticking. So what's going to happen? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are mixed right now. The Dow down 6 points at 12,580. The NASDAQ down about 0.1%. The S&P 500 up just slightly. European leaders say a debt summit tomorrow could be a make-or-break moment for the future of Europe. Policymakers are meeting in Brussels to come up with ways to entice investors into supporting the next European bailout package. Now let's get to the debt ceiling debate going on in Washington. Hopefully, I'll only have to say that for another 13 days, because that's when we reach the deadline to raise the debt ceiling to avoid a default. Richard DeKayser is an economist with the Parthenon Group. He's with us live from Boston, as he is every Wednesday. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Richard, we've got a couple of plans on the table. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, it really looks like the plan with the best chance is this so-called grand bargain struck by the Gang of Six yesterday. And the reason I say that is, half of the Senate, with equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans, already came out in support of it. That gives it a bipartisan hue and really makes it difficult for others to go their own way, given that it's got this cohesiveness. So that looks like the big deal, and it is truly big, but it's complicated. Part A of this plan is to legislate immediate cost spending reductions, that is, in the next 12 days before the debt ceiling is increased. And then Part B is much more complicated. It has lots of proposals to do many more important but complicated long-term things, including essentially restructuring the U.S. tax code.
And that would happen over how long of a period of time?
Well, it's not clear, but presumably between now and between election season, November of next year. It hasn't been spelled out in any detail, but that's part of the overall plan that people would be voting on. Not the legislation itself, but presumably guidelines that would implement that legislation between now and Election Day.
And you think that they're going to be able to make all these tough decisions over the next 12, 18 months or so?
I don't know. And this really this comes down to the issue of enforcement. Is the legislation to increase the debt ceiling written in such a manner as to provide strict enforcement mechanisms so that they must reach these objectives? Or if it's kind of wishy-washy, you could easily see it bogging down in an election year, which are generally not known for getting things done.
Richard DeKayser, economist with the Parthenon Group, thanks as always.
My pleasure.
Well, this morning, American Airlines announced the largest aircraft order in history. It is buying 460 new planes, but they won't all be made by Boeing, which has had an exclusive deal with American Airlines for the last 15 years. The order will be split between U.S.-based Boeing and its European rival, Airbus. Let's find out what's going on now from Seth Kaplan of the industry publication Airline Weekly. He's with us from Fort Lauderdale. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So American Airlines has been exclusively a Boeing customer for 15 years. Why this change?
Well, they want a lot of new airplanes, and in particular, they want some fuel-efficient airplanes to replace some of the planes that are getting up there in years. Airbus is offering a new engine option for its older A320s, so same airplane but new engines that are going to be a lot more efficient, and Americans very interested in that.
So it actually makes more financial sense for American to buy all new fuel-efficient aircraft to save money on fuel?
Just that more fuel-efficient cars right now are actually more expensive, so to burn less gas, you're going to have to pay more up front for the car. Well, it's the same with airplanes. Americans are going to pay a lot more for these airplanes than it would for less fuel-efficient airplanes. So whether or not in the long run it will save money, that we'll see. But certainly if fuel prices stay high, it will be relatively smart to have gone ahead and purchased the more efficient plane.
What is it that Airbus is doing that Boeing isn't doing?
Boeing has been thinking about whether to actually build a whole new airplane, which would likely be even better than what Airbus is offering right now. But for now, Airbus has at least updated the engines. Airlines are saying, well, that's better than nothing. We need more fuel-efficient planes. And these, in fact, are more fuel-efficient than anything else that's on the market.
Seth Kaplan of Airline Weekly, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the Internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ.
In about a half hour, a congressional committee will hear from patients, doctors, and healthcare experts. They'll be testifying about the standards the Food and Drug Administration uses to approve medical devices. And as Gregory Warner reports from our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, one researcher wants the FDA to start approving inferior devices.
The FDA approves medical devices it deems better than what's already on the market. Most of the debate this morning will focus on how the FDA makes those decisions. But according to a theory called disruptive innovation, the really good technology starts out inferior and improves over time.
The early versions of personal computers were toys. They weren't efficiency boosting. It took years of development.
Michael Mandel of the Progressive Policy Institute will tell Congress that the FDA should look for devices like those early computers that have the potential to transform healthcare.
You know, we want better health, but what we really need is treatments, devices that give us the same health using fewer workers.
Harold DeMonaco directs the Innovation Support Center at Massachusetts General. He says encouraging efficiency isn't the FDA's job.
I don't think it's the FDA. I think it's the industry in and of itself.
But he says the industry isn't going to invent those efficient devices until the market demands them. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And finally, to something very unhealthy. The Center for Science in the Public Interest has released its annual rankings of the worst for-you menu items at chain restaurants, like Applebee's provolone stuffed meatballs with fettuccine, 1,520 calories, and 2 days' worth of saturated fat, or the Cheesecake Factory's ultimate red velvet cheesecake, which is like eating a personal pan pepperoni pizza from Pizza Hut and 2 quarter-pounders with cheese. Oh, and an additional day's worth of saturated fat. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. You could say they had an identity crisis in the run-up to the financial crisis. Public company or private?
If it walks, flies, and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And Fannie and Freddie walk, fly, and quack like private companies.
Only they're really not. I'm Kai Rizdahl. That story next time on Marketplace. The numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.